Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 7, and we'll pick up reading in verse number 17. The Bible says this: recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's what I want to talk to you about for a little while tonight. What unforgiveness does to the heart of the believer. What unforgiveness does to the believer. Father, I love you tonight. I pray that over the next few minutes, Lord, that you would help us. I pray, God, that you'd help us recall the things that we've studied, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to rightly divide your word tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from it. Thank you, God, for speaking to my heart in studying this. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to relay it to the people the way you've given it to me. I'll give you glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to look at this and talk to you just a little while tonight about this thought, what unforgiveness does to us. Forgiveness is at the very foundation of our Christian faith. Without forgiveness, we would not have salvation by faith. It's the very foundation, the reason that we're saved tonight, the reason that we're on our way to heaven tonight. Sure, it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's because of forgiveness. Our sin was, or our righteousness was nothing but as filthy rags. Ever since Genesis chapter number 3, we've all been sinners, and God chose to forgive us when we sought forgiveness by Him. And let me just back up and say this. He forgave us before we ever asked for it. Amen. There's a lot of people walking around lost today that's already forgiven. All they've got to do is ask for it. Amen. That don't mean that they're saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There still has to be a repentance and a seeking forgiveness. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was speaking to the whole world at that moment when he said that. Amen. So the very essence and the very foundation of our Christian faith all hinges on forgiveness tonight. Even though forgiveness is at the very center of our faith, it is one thing that we seem to have the most difficulty doing sometimes as believers. As a matter of fact, sometimes it seems as if Christians are the most unforgiving people. They're the most unforgiving people. And you say, how do I know if I've forgiven someone? Well, if you had to ask if you've forgiven them, you know. You've not forgiven them yet. You're still holding on to something in your life. And a lot of times we become the most unforgiving people. When you study forgiveness and when looking at this, we must first be reminded of a couple of things by way of introduction. Number one, God has forgiven us. And if God can forgive us, then we should forgive others. Nobody has ever treated you as bad as you've treated God. You said, preacher, I've never treated God bad. You're wrong. You have. Have you read your Bible like you should today? Have you prayed like you should today? Have you witnessed like you should today? Did you tithe today? Did you give the faith promise today? I'm sure probably somewhere along those questions, there was some no's that got put in there. And you know what we're doing? We're treating God in the wrong manner. But even though we treat God bad, he said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When God forgave us of our sins, the Bible says he remembered them no more, according to Hebrews chapter number 8. So God has forgiven us, and because God has forgiven us, then we must, based off of the scripture, we must forgive others. We must do it. If you do not forgive, then you're living in sin and you're not right with God. You say, preacher, that's strong. That's the truth today. If you do not forgive, God done it for us. We must do it for others. When we forgive others, we don't actually erase the sin like God does, but we imitate God by choosing not to remember it. When we forgive, listen to this, when we forgive, that means we will not bring it up to the person again. I got one that's right, one amen, and one grunt. So let me say it again. That means when we truly forgive somebody, we do not bring it up again. Preacher, how do I know if I'm dealing with unforgiveness in my life? Are you still bringing things up from the past? If you are, you have not truly, I'm preaching good tonight, you have not truly forgiven someone. Well, we do it by saying that, or by it means that we're never going to bring that up to the person again. Not only that, but think about this. It means that we'll not bring it up to anyone else again. We'll not bring it up to anyone else again. If we truly forgive that person, we're not going to talk to our buddy down the road 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 2 years, and go, hey, did you know you're struggling with forgiveness? You've never forgiven the person. Can I just tell you how they treated me? No, you can't, because I'm not interested in hearing it. You want me to tell you the reason I'm not interested in hearing it? Listen to me. It may change my view of that person. Well, your view needs to be what mine is. If your view is scriptural, I agree with you. It's a heart of forgiveness. And if it's not, then we don't even need to talk about it. There's no need to bring it back up. Hey, Christ doesn't bring it back up to us. You know what? God don't call Brother Tim in the morning and say, hey, let me tell you something, Brother Jonathan, your pastor did back 10 years ago or 15 years ago. He really don't have to go that far. Let me tell you something he did last week. God doesn't do that. In church, if we're truly going to forgive, we have to come to the place where we don't bring it up to the person and we don't bring it up to anyone else. Now, let me say this. I'm headed somewhere, stay with me. We also don't bring it back up to ourselves and allow ourselves to dwell on it. If you continually dwell on it, you know what's going to happen? I'm headed here in the message in just a second. Bitterness is next. You can't bring it back up. Well, I just don't think, I've not seen any fruit of their true repentance. You remember what I said the other day preaching on that? I said this, fruit doesn't grow overnight. You know what, when I got saved, and I'll take it a step further, when I was 18 years old, I got my heart right with God and then surrendered to preach. I'm glad there wasn't a bunch of people who said, you know what, I just don't know if that's real or not. I don't see no fruit out of it. No, but somebody had read the Bible and decided that they was going to forgive. When we forgive, we'll not bring it back up to ourselves and dwell in it. It sounds like a fairly easy thing to do, but why do we have such a hard time doing it? And I say that again, why do we have such a hard time doing it? Some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And here's, after 20 years of pastoring, 30 years of preaching this year, here's what I found out. When it gets that way, evidently the Holy Ghost is set down in your life. It's not me, it's Him. All right? So if you don't like what I'm saying, it's not me, it's Him. You don't have a problem with me, you have a problem with the Bible. You have a problem with the Word of God. Why? It seems so easy to do it, Brother Josh, but why do we struggle with it so much? Why do we struggle to forgive? Why do we struggle? You say, preacher, I'm just flesh, and that's just all there is to it. No, here's what it is to it. You die to yourself. You die to your desires. You die to your thoughts, and we rise new in Christ and walk in Him. Why do we struggle with this sometimes? Well, I would say it this way, and again, I'm headed somewhere, because we want to punish those that hurt us. We want to get back at them. Now, you might as well say amen. We want to get back at them. What did he say in Romans? He said, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of the Lord. We want to get back at him. Man's heart is sinful. And the first thing that we desire to do is to strike back when we are hurt or violated. Someone hits us, someone cheats us, someone lies on us. What's the first thing we want to do? We want to strike back at them. Well, think about this. It's because we want to punish those who hurt us. What about this? Because we think so highly of ourselves, we think that we need to reestablish our position. Someone hurts us, someone lies on us, someone does us wrong. We think that because of our pride, we have to reestablish our position. So I've never been there before. Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever said, they just don't know who they're talking to? You know what that is? It's pride. Let me tell you who they're talking to. They're talking to a sinner that ought to be in hell with their back broke. But thank God for mercy and grace and a loving God that forgave us. Amen. Well, the thing about this, we don't have enough faith to truly believe that God can handle the situation that hurt us. We think that we have to take it in our own hands and take care of it ourselves. No, God says, vengeance is mine. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. How many times are we supposed to forgive someone who sins against us? Peter asked Jesus the same question, implying that a person only deserves so many chances. What was the reply of Jesus? Really, it was an infinite number of times. He said 70 times 7. Another good answer could be this. You forgive other people as many times as Christ has forgiven you. You forgive other people as many times as Christ has forgiven you. Well, what does unforgiveness do to us as the believer tonight? What does it cause in our life? I'll show you three simple things and we'll go home. Number one, I would say this. It keeps us in bitterness. Unforgiveness keeps us in bitterness. You said, preacher, how do I know if I'm struggling with bitterness or unforgiveness? You ever heard this? I can't even stand to see them. I don't even want to look at them. I don't want to hear nothing from them. Friend, if that's us tonight, we got a problem. We got a problem. I'm just delivering the mail. We got a problem. We got a problem. This is an area, I think, that anybody has struggled with some along the way. And I remember without going into great details, when we came here, some things that happened before we came here, and I'm telling you something, for a long time, Brother Aaron, I struggled with that. And boy, I thought, I would even tell my, I don't even want to see those people. I don't have nothing to do with them. And you know what, every once in a while, Brother Robert, I'd run into him. And every time I'd run into him, because I was on staff at a church, and every time I'd run into him, matter of fact, usually when I run into about anybody that I've had a problem with this with, it's at church. And I'd think, boy, is that the way Christ would handle this? I'll never forget, I had not been here but probably a year. And I preached a series. I couldn't tell you what I preached in it. Couldn't tell you what the outlines was. That was really before we saved much on the computer. That was 20 years ago. Some of y'all didn't even, I mean, that was way back yonder. That was almost to the 1900s. I can't tell you what I said in it, Brother Josh. But I do know this. Through that, God touched my life. And God gave me that series on bitterness for nobody else but me. And let me tell you what I had found out. Here's what I had found out. My bitterness stemmed from this right here, from unforgiveness. They never asked me. They never come to me. They never apologized to me. Matter of fact, the main one that done that still to this day has not apologized or said anything to me. And I come to the place where I was not going to allow them to control me. Me and them to control my happiness and them to control my life. And I chose, because God chose to forgive me, I chose to forgive them. And when we don't forgive, it keeps us in bitterness. It keeps us in bitterness. Hebrews said this in chapter number 12, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up, watch this, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what bitterness causes in your life? Listen to me right here. Bitterness will spring out past just you. Anything that is rooted is going to bring something from it. And you know what it'll do? It'll be in your life. But if you're an adult with kids tonight, let me tell you what'll happen. It'll begin to spring over into their life, into others' lives around you. And he said, this is not to be in you. This is not to be in you. What did he say in Ephesians chapter number 4? He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. Listen to me. All of that goes right hand in hand together. Bitterness, wrath, anger. He said, put it away from you. Here's some Bible examples. What about Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 13 through chapter 15? After Amnon sinned against Tamar, Absalom held bitterness in his heart for 2 full years before taking revenge. Absalom hated Amnon. His bitterness eventually turned into murder. Later, his bitterness against David led to rebellion and his own death. The truth of the matter is this: bitterness always grows if it's not dealt with. Bitterness always. Have y'all ever heard of a plant that's called kudzu? You could put Brother Jonathan one little bit of kudzu over there on that bank, and in a very short amount of time, you know what's going to happen? That whole bank's going to be eat up with kudzu. It spreads like wildfire. You know what happens to a person that's struggling with forgiveness tonight? Bitterness is in their life, and what happens? It begins to spread like kudzu. Bitterness is the poison we drink, hoping someone else will die. Bitterness is the poison we drink, hoping someone else will die. When we refuse to forgive, the offense keeps living rent-free in our heart. Unforgiveness does not hurt the person who hurts you. You know what unforgiveness does? It hurts you. It don't hurt that person. That person lives their life. Bitterness don't hurt the person you're bitter towards. That person's living their life. You want me to tell you who the loser is? You. It's you. Number one, it keeps us in bitterness. Number two, watch this. Unforgiveness keeps us in bondage to the past. It keeps us in bondage to the past. Whenever you study Matthew chapter number 18, especially in the latter portion, verse 34 on down through there, the unforgiven servant was delivered to the tormentors. Think about this. Here's a Bible example of bitterness keeping us in bondage to the past. Joseph, a man who forgave. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold in slavery. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten in prison. Yet Joseph refused to live a life of bitterness. Joseph said this in chapter number 50 and verse number 20 of Genesis. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Joseph moved forward. Why did Joseph move forward? Because he forgave. If anybody had a right to get bitter and hold on to unforgiveness, man, it was Brother Joseph. Look at everything he went through. But Joseph said, no, I'll not do that. I choose to forgive. And boy, he did with his brothers. Matter of fact, he brought them in, loved on them, and gave them a place to live and took care of them. Say, well, that's Joseph. That's a Bible character. No, There's a man just like you and me. The Bible characters are not some supernatural person. It was just people that believed the Word of God and lived by it. But think about this one. There's another example. That's King Saul. He was a man who couldn't let go. Joseph was a man that decided to forgive and let go. But King Saul, he was a man that just couldn't let it go. 1 Samuel chapter number 18 deals with that. Saul become jealous of David and watched him suspiciously. His inability to release jealousy and anger kept him trapped for years chasing David instead of ruling a kingdom. Saul was the king of Israel. I'll give you something else. Saul was God's anointed at the time. Saul was God's anointed. You say, the million-dollar question when you're sitting around with preachers, well, was Saul saved? He was God's anointed, was he not? Yes, sir, he was. He's the king of Israel. And what is he doing? He's running around chasing a shepherd boy because of unforgiveness. Because of unforgiveness. Think about this. His inability to release jealousy and anger kept him trapped for years, chasing David instead of ruling the kingdom. When you refuse to forgive, you chain yourself to the person that hurt you. That's what you do. You might as well take a set of handcuffs and handcuff yourself to that person, because you are in bondage to that person. I'm preaching good. You're in bondage. That person controls your emotions. The only person that's going to make my blood pressure rise when I see them is my wife. And sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. I am not. I refuse, Brother Robert. I refuse to allow somebody else to hold me in bondage to them. You don't know what they've done to me. No, but I know what you've done to God, and God forgave you. You cannot move forward with God while dragging yesterday's hurt behind you. You can't do it. It's not possible based on the authority of God's Word. You're as far as you're going to go in your Christian walk with God if you're still dragging the past with you in everything that you do. Number three, I would say this. Not only does it leave us in bondage to the past, not only does it keep us in bitterness, but I would say this, number three, it leaves us bothered or burdened. Unforgiveness. It leaves us bothered or burdened. Psalms 32 said this, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me." Matthew said this in chapter number 11. Jesus says, "Come unto me and I will give you rest." Romans said this in chapter number 12. "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." It leaves us bothered and burdened. That bondage that you're in, that burden that you're carrying, that bothersome time that you're having, hear me and hear me well. God can help you overcome that if you will allow God to do that. I just can't do it. You got to die to yourself. You got to die to yourself. One of the first things that me and Miss Leslie deals with if we're ever doing marital counseling is this, and we don't do it much, but if we do, one of the first things that we ever deal with is this: have you died to yourself? And I'm going to tell you the reason a lot of people live in unforgiveness is because they never died to their self, and they're bothered and they're burdened down with it. They can't move on. Why? Because they've never forgiven. Here's you an example. What about King David and Nabal in 1 Samuel 25? Nabal insulted David, and David was ready to kill him, and every male in his house. But Abigail intervened, and David gave the situation to God. In verse number 9, later God judged Nabal because of it. David learned that God can handle what we cannot if we'll simply give it to Him. What about Cain in Genesis chapter number 4? God warned Cain. He said, sin lieth at the door. Cain refused to deal with anger and bitterness, and it destroyed him. I'd say this in closing as Miss Tanya makes her way back to the piano. There's three areas that unforgiveness will burden you tonight. It'll burden you physically. It'll burden you mentally. But more than that, it'll burden you spiritually. Physically, stress, anger, bitterness affect the body. It's proven. Mentally, the mind constantly replays the offense. Spiritually, it creates distance between God and you. Matthew chapter number 6 says this, if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. You cannot carry bitterness and walk closely with God at the same time. When we refuse to forgive, we step into a role never that God never gave us. Hear me. When you choose to not forgive, you step into a role that God never gave you. God never gave you the role to do that. Hear what I'm saying to you. It's not your choice of what you do with it. God's already told you what to do with it. It's not my choice if I forgive or not. Now it is, but with every choice comes consequence. And when I choose not to forgive, then guess what? My relationship with God shut off. Why? Because I'm not doing what He says to do. God never put us in a role to do that. That is the role of the judge. The weight of unforgiveness is too heavy for a human heart to carry. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Forgiveness does not say the wrong was acceptable. Forgiveness says that God is the final judge and I'll leave it up to Him. It does not say that the wrong was accepted or the wrong was right. It says I put it in the hands of God and I will allow God to take care of it. I read this little illustration. It said, a man once said, holding unforgiveness is like keeping someone in prison. But the longer he thought about it, he realized something. If you keep someone locked in a prison cell, you have to stay there to guard the door. You cannot leave because you're afraid they might get out. So while you think you are imprisoning them, you have actually imprisoned yourself. That is exactly what unforgiveness does. You replay the hurt. You relive the offense. You guard the wound. Meanwhile, the person who hurt you has probably moved on with their life and forgot all about it. But you're still standing guard over a prison cell of bitterness. Then one day, God whispered to his heart and said, why don't you just unlock the door? Because the moment you release them, you are actually the one that goes free. You are actually the one. It's not them, it's you. Forgiveness sets two people free. And one of them is you. One of them is you. I want to ask you a question tonight. What is it that you're struggling with to forgive? What is it? Are you going to continue to carry it? I've heard people make this statement, I'll carry it to my grave. Well, you'll go to your grave. If you're saved, you'll go to heaven, but you'll go to your grave out of God's will. And you'll never, listen to me, you'll never reach the full potential of your spiritual ability living with unforgiveness in your life. Why? Because God commanded us to forgive. To forgive. Preacher, how do I do it? You give it to Him and walk away. You give it to Him and walk away. You don't allow it to run your life. I said this before and I'm going to say it again. And we're standing and we're praying and we're giving an altar call, and the lady says, "Going to practice singing." Bitterness and unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. They're not going to die. They're living their life, and you're the one that's dying because of it.